Welcome, sisters, to Return of the Priestess. It's good to have you back again. This is Dawn, and I'm your facilitating priestess for this series. And today we're going to be speaking about something very dear to my heart, which is healing the priestess wound. But before we go there, as always, I would like to begin with grounding and centering ourselves so that we're connected in the field of all possibility here on Mother Earth, together in this time space. So if it's safe to do so, you can go ahead and close your eyes, and I'm going to close my eyes. And I invite you to place one hand on your womb space and one hand on your heart. And let's share some breaths together now. So taking a nice deep breath in, let your body fill with air. Feeling the spaciousness and exhaling to let yourself settle here now. And again, inhaling, letting yourself receive the gifts of our time together. And exhale to drop in with your awareness, your full body. And one more breath in, really feeling the connection of this sister circle around the earth. And exhaling to come to this time together. You can open your eyes. And as I said, today we are going to be talking about healing the priestess wound with Priestess Leola Antara. So I want to tell you a little bit about her, and then I'll introduce her and we'll get started. So Leola Antara is a priestess of Isis Magdalene through the rose line of Goddess Sophia. She is a master ecstatic alchemist and transformational guide. She's created Kundalini Dance Alchemical Healing Practice, and over the past 30 years has taken many priestesses through this deep and empowering program. So, welcome, dear Leola. It's so good to have you here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
And I wanted to start, as I do with all of these interviews, to invite you, for those who don't know you, and I know that there will be many sisters here who do, but for those who don't, would you give us some of your backstory about yourself and how you came to your sacred work as a priestess of Isis Magdalene and the Kundalini dance alchemy work?
Thanks for asking. I always get taken to the moment of my first Kundalini awakening. And, you know, that's when my consciousness really switched online. And, you know, how that occurred for me was meeting a beloved soulmate relationship. And the first time that we made love, I experienced, we had quite a slow courtship. And then, as I said, the first time we made love, I felt this beautiful rush of ecstatic Kundalini energy run through my body and awaken my crown chakra. I was 23 years old. And at that point, I was just like, wow, well, you know, that's what a chakra is. That must be what a chakra is. That must be, you know. And so it started. He was a drummer, a conga player drummer. So he would drum and I would dance. And I started to experience how I could move energy up, you know, through my spine and when I was dancing. So it wasn't just when I was making love. And I kept, because I was at that age, it was 23, the Jupiter return. So it's a time when I was really asking, what's my soul purpose? What's my work? What's my soul purpose? And at that time, I'm in Australia, I'm Australian. My parents from Croatia and Italy, but they migrated here, and I'm born Australian. And we were in Australia at the time, and we did a journey to the central western desert in Australia. And at that time, we went to did a ceremony on a sacred place to the Aboriginal people one dawn morning. And we prayed as a couple, you know, what can we do to serve, you know, the awakening of humanity. And at that time, we received a vision of the rainbow serpent of the earth, the Kundalini core of the earth, rising up through the body. And that's when I was told that my role was to connect people to the core of Mother Gaia. And I was told over the next, you know, 20, 30 years that we were going into a time of great purification of the earth, and many old structures and the new paradigm would rise and the golden era would come. But part of that was supporting people to connect to the womb of Gaia, to the womb of the womb core of Mother Gaia Sophia, and activate and actually embody her golden energy and activate their rainbow light body through that, you know, Kundalini practice of connecting to the core of the earth. So then I spent 20 years developing chakra dance, Kundalini dance, taking people through this very activated process of breathing to cleanse and purify and awaken the chakras. And then, you know, I came to the point of, wow, this is not just a rising Shakti practice. This is about the inner marriage and opening up to the gold. So throughout all the 90s, I was, you know, also did a lot of traveling. As we shared, I spent time in Sedona, which was very activating, traveling over, being in California, teaching my workshops. And then I would started to experience this balancing of the, you know, the divine masculine and the divine feminine, that this was tantric alchemy, you know. And as I was in a 7-year tantric marriage dedicated to a monogamous solo beloved relationship, that I was called to initiate others into the tantric alchemy, but through white tantra, so through the dance, through the breath work, through meditation. So I began to teach tantra, but through solo white tantra. And it wasn't because I was in a committed partnership, I wasn't like a tantrika who worked with men. So it was always for me, how do I get people to really feel the sovereign power of Shakti in their bodies? And that's how I established the breath work, the Shakti breathing, all the cultivation, all the womb activation work, and the rising of that, how to self-cultivate energy. And, you know, one of my deepest loves is to bring, you know, both men and women, you know, back home into the embodiment of the goddess and all her different archetypes and all her different energetic qualities. You know, I see the goddess as different currents of Kundalini energy. You know, Isis has a sweeter current. The divine mother energy is the holding power of love. But then you have these more ecstatic goddesses like Sekhmet, who's more of the Kundalini fire of transformation. And we have these, you know, both the light goddess and the dark goddess, and they're both very, very key. The dark not meaning the evil, but the dark meaning that more fierce, that more powerfully strong embodied current of Kundalini energy that's most needed at this time as the feminine rises once again into our sovereign creative power and into once again trusting our intuitions and trusting our voices. So yeah, the work went on, and then I started being asked to initiate other priestesses, and then I developed the Tantric Rose Mystery School. It started as the Temple of Isis Mystery School, but then I changed the name to the Tantric Rose Mystery School, and I've been teaching online for 6 years. So I've got quite a big global team of amazing priestesses who are activated in this tantric alchemy, this embodied work. And so I have a 9-month teaching training program, as well as doing, you know, retreats in Bali and places like that.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's kind of the bit of how I've got to where I am.
It sounds like you've been on the path a very long time. And this is really, it's wonderful, because I would imagine that in those early years, there weren't nearly as many people available to do this, to share this work with.
Yeah. And this is the thing, you know, and this is why I really get what the wounds are, because I was a pioneer.
Yeah.
So I'm coming into my 32nd year as a teacher and a guide and a way shower of embodiment, of teaching others in, you know, to embody the inner marriage of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And I've been working and priestessing for 32 years. And particularly in Australia, you know, there was no one else. And I could feel, you know, I experienced as a young woman, you know, rising in my power. I lived in Europe as well for like 16 of those years, and because I had teachers in Europe. But I was constantly facing, you know, feeling this terror of really coming out. And I started to activate a lot of memories, you know, those old fears of persecution, those old memories of being burnt and beheaded, particularly because I was living in old Europe. I spent like 3 years living in London, and I spent like 3 years living in Amsterdam, and traveling through, you know, places like Germany and Spain and France. And there's a lot of memory for me when I go to sacred sites, both of, in like Greece and Egypt, of times of incredible periods when the priestesses were venerated and we were part of society and we belonged. And then you hit that middle age period, the medieval period, you know, around the 12th, 13th century, when the persecution, or what I call the war on woman, the war on sacred woman, began. I think it began in like 1279 or something, if the date's correct. And it went on for 700 years, you know, and so that's a lot of time in the collective memory of woman. And I definitely have my, you know, I lay my hands on women, I work with women, and I see the torture, and I see the imprints of how, when a woman who held her Shakti power, her divine feminine radiance strongly, how she was, you know, often, you know, it wasn't just burnt at the stake or impaled, you know. I had my own memories. You know, I was living in Amsterdam, and this might trigger warning, as we say, but my home was right next to one of the oldest squares, so I'd go to the market, get my fruit and vegetables from the square.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd sometimes, you know, just be doing my yoga practice and my morning practice, and I'd go out for my morning, you know, shop. And sort of sometimes I was in a semi-altered state at one morning, and I literally had a memory of, you know, being part of a coven of women there, but also being literally seeing myself impaled on a stake through my left chest. Yeah. And that the people, that they just left us there. There was three or four of us in a row, and people would just walk past, and we just, you know, were rotting on this stake. And the pain here, and I often, you know, would experience like this kind of physical, in this life, physical pain. And I've seen it in a lot of other women, either on the left side or the right side. And I can see it as like a tear energetically in the auric field, and I'm, the witch's wound, the witch's wound. It's like something that you can read. Yeah. And you know, it manifests in the tightness in the shoulders and the the memory can be held everywhere in the body, right? The lungs,
yeah,
the throat, the yoni, the womb.
Yeah.
But that was the beginning of me remembering, you know, like some of the persecution. And then I can feel it, you know, many times, you know, over the years, it's like I had to cloak my work as being, you know, dance, chakra dance, kundalini dance. And I wouldn't go in like, it's not, it's only been a few years that someone like you would introduce me as a priestess of Isis Magdalene. You know, it's like literally, yeah. You know, I have been still carrying this cloak of invisibility.
Yeah.
And I think many women can relate to that. It's like, well, is it safe for me to show that sacred part of me?
Indeed, you know? Indeed. Yeah, I had a very similar when I began my journey 36 years ago, and maybe 34 years ago, we could say we were by then, my coven was leading ceremonies for women in the community, and we would literally, it would be a whisper, you know, are you going to the goddess ritual? And my feminist professors did not want us to talk about the goddess because they wanted tenure in a patriarchal institution. So yeah, so back then, I mean, you just didn't say, but you can kind of feel the other women are kind of, you know, like, hey, have you ever done tarot? Or, you know, like the little things, you had dance as a way to connect with women.
Yeah.
But it was really on the down low. So even when I received this this phrase, return of the priestess, I really didn't think like it was going to be this out there. But at some point, the goddess Isis said, yeah, this is where we're going with this. Move forward now.
yeah. And Isis has been, you know, so here I remember for me, you know, like, 3 or 4 years ago, I was in my kitchen and I was asking how I could serve my community. And it was like, offer a temple of Isis immersion, initiate people for 21 days to embody and immerse themselves in the energy of the goddess Isis. Mm. And that was the beginning of the Temple of Isis Mystery School. And I had 250 women join.
Wow.
And we went deep for 21 days. And the rainbow ecstatic light body that was activated through that, it was like an incredibly powerful 21-day immersion into her energy. But wow. Isis has always been on the inner planes for me. She's always been guiding my work. So Kundalini dance, which is sacred in a marriage, was always overlit by Isis. So when I'd be teaching, I'd see a vision of her and her wings. These rainbow yes. wings here as a rainbow, as a psychedelic rainbow.
Ooh,
and so she's always been, she's an alchemical goddess, and she's that, you know, in the stories and in the myths, you know, she was born in the womb of the goddess, the great goddess, Mother Nut, but she was with her twin Osiris. And I think this is also very important that we work both with the energy of the divine masculine and the divine feminine to really, it's God goddess, right? It's divine masculine, divine feminine. We want to activate, because my whole work is based in alchemy, tantric alchemy, meaning working with the polarity to create an ecstatic awakening in the body, to shift the cellular memory from beyond those wounded programs or those old fears, as we spoke of, you know, like, so we said, you know, we were going to speak to the priestess wounds. And so we speak this wound of persecution. Mm-hmm. And the wound of persecution is an important women to address and to see and to presence. It's often held in the throat chakra. And it is really important to know it's there, but not to give your power to it, because it's like, as we shared, you know, it's like, I'm going to do a temple of Isis. As I said, now I'm all like, yeah, we did that and it was great. But what I wanted to say was, we did that and it was like, I was, yes, I'll do it. And then I was just like, the terror, you know, that came up in my body.
With me, with this project, with this series as well. Absolutely. Oh, I'm so inspired. Oh, I can't do that. Oh no, that's too scary. Yeah.
Yeah. That's too scary. And that's the wound, because, you know, for seven, it doesn't seem logical in this day and age, but it's still the collective wounding has still been present. And it's, you know, and you and I have been over 30 years in the field and working, but it's like, until we get to a certain, you know, morphogenic collective frequency and resonance, it's still going to be in the field. So we just, it's about learning how to presence that. And that's something that I'd really like to offer. It's like when you feel, one of my mantras is feel the fear and do it anyway. You know, I think it was a title of a book someone wrote back in the 70s, but it's that feel the fear. Yeah, acknowledge it, presence with it, embrace it, love it. Yes, you know, that's fine. Feel the fear and do it anyway. I'm so sorry. I thought that I did turn this off, but it seems that it's still not. And that's a really key and important thing. Feel the fear, do it anyway. And
So let's talk
my throat
about
lock
that throat
starting.
Lock.
Yeah, that throat lock. Because even as I say that, it's a yoni. It's actually like a yoni throat, because the true deep feminine wisdom and intelligence comes through the body. So it comes through, you know, this channel here between your yoni, your womb, your central channel, your throat. It's like we have these two very important, like, feminine power centers. So we've the throat, if anybody's feeling it now, I just invite you to just take a breath to just really presence and feel, you know, how that manifests will be as self-doubt, as second-guessing yourself, you know, having an inspiration and feeling like, you know, you want to step out, offer your sacred gifts to the world. You want to step it, you want to show, you get some inspiration, and then, you know, like you said, same thing, oh no, you can't do that. You're not worthy. Who are you? Who are you to do that? And all the second-guessing sort of comes online. But I really feel that it's so key for us now just to, you know, just presence that it's okay and that it's safe. And I would like to offer a practice, a transformational practice, so we can go in and actually work with it.
Yes, please, let's
yeah
do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just before we do, just to speak to the womb lock and the, you know, because they're very connected. And one of the things I like to share with women is, like, you ever had that experience where your sexual boundaries have been crossed, or you're making love and you don't like it, or you don't, it's not feeling good, and but your voice is like, you lose your voice. You can't say stop, get off, that's not okay. And because we've been, women have also been raped and pillaged, you know, and you know, told it was our duty to, you know, give ourselves to our man for his pleasure, like, for so long, we actually, there's this connection between the feminine, the deep feminine wisdom in the womb, and the voice of the yoni, which is an intelligence. Because, you know, you can read Naomi Wolf, she's got all the science behind that. It's its actual brain. It's an intuitive, center. But if we don't have it linked to the throat, it's like left brain, right brain. It's like then, you know, you get this rational brain, like the creative mind comes up with the idea, and the rational mind needs to kind of create the structures and the pathways to put it out into the world and allow your creative inspiration to be felt. And the yoni and the throat work like that. It's like the yoni is this gateway to this vast intelligence and of the Divine Mother. She's like the voice. I mean, this is what I love to show my chalice, actually, because if you could imagine, this is your womb. Let me just put it down on here. But, oh, maybe not. But like,
yeah, that's okay.
This is your womb.
Mm.
I'm gonna kneel up a bit, because that's your womb, and this is your yoni and your cervical gateway. And your yoni and your cervical gateway, once it's well rooted, like a good tree, and it's well grounded into the core of the mother, then she can drink up that luminous life force, that incredible life force of the mother. And then with the breath, swirl it into the womb, and the womb is your chalice. You know, that is where you can hold and contain that luminous light of the mother. So that's kind of, once we've got a good Shakti connection. And I mean, for a lot of women to be fully ecstatically activated in their Shakti, it's very different to being like sexually like open and turned on to seduce a man or to be in that sensual energy. It's a very Shakti, it's sexual, but it's sovereign. It's powerful. It's not leaking out at all to need validation, external sexual validation from a man or from a woman or from outside of you. It's a claiming of that sexual energy for sovereign creative power, for evolution. And this is when we start embodying the goddess, the Shakti, the divine feminine, you know, as a force of evolution, awakening, transformation. And she'll want to move through you, and she'll want to express through you. And this is where she will rise to unlock the throat lock, to support you to, you know, come into a deeper sense of your trusting your intuition and trusting your voice. Because this is what is so key right now on this time, this incredible time of the turning on the planet. You know, I feel very, very excited right now for what humanity is going through. We have this great time of the great sacred pause, where many people are staying home, taking time to go within, taking time to slow down, taking time to access the creative power and remember who they are, and remember to receive the great unique gifts. Because this is, once this is unlocked, you receive your great gift, and you won't get it if you're trying to copy others or follow others. You know, I know this is a weird story, but this morning my deck opens up to a little lagoon, and I have ducks, and I feed these ducks every morning.
Lovely.
This morning I was feeding the ducks, and there's big daddy duck and his two little ladies, and then there's these smaller versions of ducks. It's like three species of ducks, and there's a bit of hierarchy. Obviously the bigger ones kind of, you know, chase off the little ones, and they want the food for themselves. But I, of course, was, you know, wanting to make sure that the littlest baby fluffy duck also got money, you know, got money. I got food, and I would send them food. I'd throw it food. But it was like it wouldn't get the gift I was receiving, because I would throw it a little further away, and it was only following what the bigger ducks were doing, and it was missing the gift of the new. And I'd send it again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, isn't that a metaphor for life? It's like God is throwing you your, you know, special extra treat, but mm-hmm. you don't see it because nobody else is, it's not for anybody else. It's for you.
Yeah.
And you don't see it because you're too busy comparing yourself and following what all the other ducks are doing. And so this is why we need alone time. This is why we need this time of self-isolation. So if you can really take that time, and I know not many of us live with families, and you know, it can be actually quite a distracting time if you can't get your own space, but really the only way that we're going to really find the gifts of our soul is through this kind of Shakti activation and lighting up the Holy Grail in the bore in the throat chakra. This is where the sacred purpose, it's like the seeds grow in the womb. This is where the sacred purpose really lies.
Well,
let's go into some practice, hey?
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd like to invite you to just take a sip of water, potentially, if you do have some water near you, because the water is a way of allowing the electromagnetic energies to flow through your body more effectively. Let's take a long, slow breath out. Breathing in through the nose now, and breathing out through the mouth. I'm going to invite you, if you can, just take a spot on the floor rather than being on a chair, if that's comfortable for you. And we're going to literally begin to spiral our energy. So if you feel comfortable, actually move like you're moving in a circle, relaxing the muscles behind your eyes, relaxing your jaw, unlocking your jaw, and start to feel the connection between your jaw and your yoni, your vagina. You know, I don't know if you've seen, there's a photo that's been going around the internet where they dissect a throat and they dissect the yoni, and it looks anatomically exactly the same. I know for me as a woman, when I gave birth to my daughter, my cervix only opened fully to the full birthing when my voice opened. It was the sound that helped me birth my baby ecstatically. I know as a woman, if you allow your voice to open during lovemaking, it becomes so much more orgasmic. And it's the same in sacred practice. So I just invite you now just to allow a deep sound to relax your voice, to relax your yoni. And just a sigh. Allow the sigh, because when you sigh, You're telling your nervous system it's time to relax, and it's time to let go. I'm sending that root like a spiral down from your cervix, spiraling down through your yoni, and spiraling all the way down into the womb of Gaia, Sophia. Her golden womb core, her Kundalini womb core. Beautiful. Opening to receive. You connect to those rainbow serpents at the core of Mother Gaia, here to help you to receive her light, a rainbow, ecstatic, luminous, evolutionary light, and drawing on the next inhalation, breathing to receive that energy up through your yoni. So we're going to drink it in. Imagine that your yoni has three bands, a lower band, and you're going to sniff and slightly contract the lips of your yoni, your vagina. Yoni means heavenly gateway, so we call our vagina a yoni. It's a lovely meaning. And then we're going to slightly contract the middle band of your yoni. And that's okay if you don't feel any difference at the first time, but with practice you will. Squeezing the muscle, sniffing in, intending to drink this luminous light, nectar from the womb core of Gaia, this golden energy. And now squeezing the upper band right at the top where it touches the cervix, squeezing that cervical top for your third breath. And on your exhalation, imagining this golden light going up through your cervical gate, the cervix, and into your womb. Oh, nice. We're going to do some movement with this breathing. We're going to tilt just like that. And we're going to gather it into the womb. Oh, and expand through the womb. We're going to be drawing energy up from the womb core of Gaia, squeezing the three bands of your lower band, middle band, upper band. Exhaling, collecting in the womb. Middle, lower band, sniff. Middle band, sniff. Upper band, sniff. Om Gaia Sophia. Om Gaia. Om Shakti Ma. Om Shakti Ma. Just taking some time to rock forward and back as you gather this beautiful energy in your body. You can close your eyes and just feel now your own direct connection. There's nothing, no way you have to move in the same ways. Just feeling this support through rocking the spine. Nice. Feel this connection to your womb as this chalice, this great holy grail for the goddess, for her light, for her wisdom and power, and say, I offer my womb, my chalice, as a vessel for the goddess. It is safe for me to embody the divine wisdom. I am sovereign. I am sexually sovereign. And I embody the wisdom and the love and the power of the goddess. So your womb, my beloved, is an oracle. She will glow warm. Sometimes if you want to ask a question, is this right? Is this the way I should go? Is that the right house for me to buy or rent? Is that the right man for me to let into my body? Is this the right project for me to invest my time and energy and money into? How does that feel? Your womb is one of the three hearts of the feminine. It's a great intuitive barometer for your soul wisdom. So just taking a moment here to fully recognize my womb is a barometer for my soul wisdom. And it's safe for me to radiate my sovereign Shakti power. We're going to take a moment now. We're going to breathe. Next, we're going to breathe up to the heart center. You can see here a flame, a beautiful flame of divine love that rests in your core. And once again, I invite you just to place your hands in a triangular mudra at the top. And lay your hands on your chest. We're going to guide that energy of the womb up and out. Just breathe it up like that. Allow your body to come into a wave. Expanding into the ocean of love here. Oh. I'm going to chant the sound ah on the next exhale. And now start to feel that link between your higher heart center and the base of your throat. Yeah, just lay that mantra, that mudra on. And the mantra, I air. I air. And feel how your heart light can support the activation of your throat center. Your throat center being how you express your divine feminine wisdom, how you create this throat. And just placing your fingertips here on your throat. We're going to take a breath. Maybe just place one hand on your cup over your yoni and one hand on your throat. As we choose now to open this gateway, this link between divine feminine wisdom and intelligence of your yoni and your womb, as it links to your sacred voice. As my beloved woman, your sacred voice matters. We are at a time on earth right now where the voice and the intuition of the feminine matters, where your no, not this doesn't feel good, this doesn't feel okay, this voice that is not based in clinical research or a PhD, this voice that's connected to your deep feminine wisdom, your womb wisdom, your yoni wisdom, where you come to this place and you can just say, I know because I know. I know because I know. Feel that link now. This beautiful golden energy coming up from the womb of Gaia, coming up through your yoni, coming up to light the flame in your throat and activating your voice. This is the key, this is where the codes of your sacred purpose lie, your sacred gifts. Here in your throat chakra. And just say to yourself, my voice matters. And I trust the intuitive wisdom of my voice. And just come back to the throat, giving yourself a moment to just presence what is here. Perhaps you feel some tightness. Perhaps you feel ecstatic. Whatever is there, sometimes when we do some breaths like that, we get to feel the cloak or the lock. Just say, it is safe for me to come out as who I truly am. It is safe for me to express my voice. And I can hold my fear, and I can hold my terror, and I can do it anyway. And this is where we call upon the beautiful, holy, dark goddess, Sekhmet, Kali. If you ever feel like you have fear that is holding you back from becoming visible, patterns that are still entrenched in the old paradigms that are keeping you second guessing your unique voice, your unique expression matters. So we call in Sasa Kemsahu. Sasa Kemsahu. We call in Sasa Kemsahu. Kundalini aspect of the goddess to support you, to cleanse the veils that have held you back from fully radiating in the full magnificent glory of your unique expression in the world. We're just going to lift off any clouds, breathing that and offering that to the light. And I hold this Ankh in the name of Isis, in the name of Sekhmet, and invite you to place this Ankh over your throat to allow the vibration in your throat to quicken. Kiataya, kiataya, tuata, tuata, tuata. Surrendering any ways that you have plugged into any old wounds of persecution, of fear of showing yourself, lifting it off, and breathing in the truth of how safe it is for you to be visible and how safe it is for you to shine in your unique gifts, how safe it is for you to remember and to action upon your sacred work. No gesture of sacred work is too small or too big. You can visualize this Ankh in your throat and your meditations each day and allow yourself to come alive. We seal and complete. This transmission, we give thanks to Isis and Sekhmet. For this transmission, and we ask that this healing be sealed and protected in the name of the goddess Isis Sekhmet, in the name of the Egyptian mysteries, we are complete. And this laying your hands again on your womb to just ground and center. A little mini ceremony there, a little mini transmission. Come back to your womb. You can breathe in the Ankh here too. And there we go.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for this delicious experience of your work, Leola. May we all be activated. Thank you. So for those sisters who would like to get in touch with you, how can they find you?
I think the most, you know, appropriate way to do that, I have a website, www.leolaantara.com, and I have several free gifts on that website. And one of the free, you know, when I say free gifts, as in little mini online courses, little mini experiences. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that's most relevant to and will deepen and enrich what we've already started here today is a little three-part mini series I've offered called Healing the Priestess Wound. Mm-hmm. And that course will then put you in touch with me. There'll be a series of emails that come through, a very rich webinar teaching, and a PDF on the Tantric Rose Priestess lineage, and another very powerful daily practice you can do. And then from there, you'll receive some sacred transmissions and invitations into your inbox for, you know, further work that you can do with me. If you're interested in my priestess trainings or my online dance, up and coming Kundalini dance, chakra alchemy series, you'll find out about it that way.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time today, for this blessing, this powerful ceremonial transmission. I know I certainly feel activated, and I'm eager also to hear from our sisters attending what your experience was with this. So please, please share with us in the Facebook group so that we further support and lift each other in this healing process, in this activation, in this stepping up and speaking our truth.
Beautiful. And I'll definitely check in with that group too. And if you have any questions for me there, just tag me in, and then I'll know to go check, and I can respond and guide you further. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Leola. Thank you, sisters. Please be sure to stay with us throughout. It's been such a joy to hold this space, and we will see you on the next call. Blessings.